Previously on the Sound of Football podcast.
But I think Ashley Young's been a revelation.
Yeah, what a tremendous display, yes.
And if I was a Villa fan, I'd be sort of looking at him going and saying, I knew it was good, but yeah. Crikey, I mean, no idea he had that in him. And of course, he's bursting on the England scene consequently.
He's obviously like exploding with confidence at the moment.
He's exploding, there's confidence exploding all over the place.
It's like a filthy mess everywhere.
Disgusting.
Someone's
got to clean that confidence up, you know.
Yes, it's the Sound of Football podcast with Graham Sibley, Terry DeFellin, and your host, Chris Oakley.
This for the 87th edition of the Sound of Football podcast. During the course of this edition, we are going to be tackling the old chestnut of Twitter and its role in the careers of football players, and indeed the effect that Twitter can have on the fortunes of said players, and so on and so forth. We're going to be looking at those players that perhaps make the best use of Twitter, those players that have been most badly affected, shall we say, by Twitter, and also examining perhaps where Twitter may be going in the future and the ramifications of that. I'm going to come to you first this week, Terry. We have to contractually mentioned the words Joey M. Barton at the beginning of this podcast. He's been back on Twitter again. He is a fine example of a player that's embraced Twitter. In fact, he's made it pretty much an art form the way he's uttered on his wonderful nuggets of joy. He's also, of course, as we know, fallen foul by virtue of the fact that he feels that he can give his opinion on everything from sort of bad tactical decisions by his manager to the fact that he's been perhaps left out of a side and so on and so forth. First of all, before we sort of come on to Joey Barton, I mean, to what extent do you think players should use Twitter, given the fact that the things that they say can have an impact not only on themselves but also on their team in general and the performance of the team? Should they be to some extent kept at arm's length from Twitter?
No, I certainly don't think that they should be kept at arm's length. But I suppose that I think the problem is that the clubs, the Premier League, and the people who look after players may be slightly behind the curve when it comes to using social media. They may perhaps not implicitly understand it, and this means that they're not in a position to give advice about what is, you know, the correct way to use it or what is an advisable way to use it, and. Well, obviously, the correct way to use it is what you is to put into it what you would like to get out of it. If it's to raise your profile for charitable causes, if it's to become a bit of a legend, so that you'll maybe get a good offer for a book, or if it's just simply to shoot the breeze, there perhaps are different approaches that you take to using Twitter. And that I suspect that not everyone fully understands what that is. One thing I certainly wouldn't suggest would be if any player wanted to go on Twitter, and was advised against it, I would ignore that advice. Because anything that's likely to happen there isn't life or death, and isn't the end of the world. And what I find refreshing about players having access, or supporters, if you like, having that direct access to Twitter, is that you do get a kind of unfiltered, unmoderated sort of like view. Twitter is so good, and we've all, I'm sure, been caught out at various times when we've either had a few cold drinks, or whether we're boiling over with real rage or ire or joy or delight about something, that we end up going on Twitter, opening our mouths, saying something that, in truth, we didn't need to say, either because it's embarrassing or stupid, or simply because it doesn't need to be said, it's not actually terribly interesting. And, you know, obviously when you're a footballer and you lead a relatively glamorous life and you have an exciting job and everyone's looking at you, then, you know, that can you know, have ramifications.
I mean, Graham, it's we take Terry's point there that players should be, maybe better educated on how to use Twitter better. And more and more teams are actually telling their players, you know, be careful on Twitter. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of proactive attempts to, let's say, train players, for want of a better word, on how best to use Twitter and what to say and when to say and how to say it. I mean, it's
I suppose, acceptable to sort of think that this whole social media thing has come about in a you know, very quickly. It's been a relatively recent phenomenon, and yet, actually, perhaps some clubs have been a bit slow, haven't they, to realise what it's all about.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I think, you know, football, by and large, and football media as well, is a particularly conservative field, and it does tend to be quite slow moving. But I think as far as Twitter's concerned, I don't know whether it's, as far as individual player accounts are concerned, I don't know whether it's led by the clubs to sort of say, you're quite a popular character, you should really have your own Twitter account and we encourage this. Mm. Or whether or not it's more than likely the agent who is saying, or their manager, if they have one or either or both, to say, You need to improve your profile so that you get out there, so you get better boot deals, you get advertising, and you also get in the papers more often. Mm. I would say it's probably more led by agents and publicity people rather than the clubs themselves, because I think the clubs have got more to lose if the player suddenly gets in an argument with Piers Morgan or, for want of a better word, Henry Winter.
and there are plenty of better words.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think at the moment we're living in a good time on Twitter, because I think there isn't that much control over what the players are doing. Mm. If you look at Jack Wilshere's stream, it's invariably, hey, had a great time at training today, I'm going to play FIFA now. And just basically, I'm taking my dogs for a walk. And yes, we're back at training. Or, yeah, great, terrible result today, lads, but, you know, we'll try hard and we'll do better next week. You know, those are getting horribly familiar.
Deeply controversial stuff there.
Yes. But then again, he does put deeply controversial stuff.
Well, he did say, didn't he, that he thought that England were going to thrash Wales 4-0. Which is on Twitter, inevitably, some of the dimmer people on Twitter took extreme umbrage at this.
Yeah, but invariably, these ones get deleted very quickly as soon as his agent calls up and says, "Oh, club." I mean, you don't know who, but someone said, "Look, sorry, no, you don't have." Which is it? And,
it's a shame because this is what you want.
Because this is exactly what you want. I mean, but we've been saying this about players in front of the media for years. About how, you know, how boring they are and how staid and how trained they are, about how they say absolutely nothing out of place. They say, oh, yes, you know.
Mm. And then the moment they start to say anything interesting, they're jumped on by dim people.
Yeah, exactly. And so you just lose all the passion and the power of it. And hence, they all look really dull, these people. And then,
well, that's right.
In fairness, sorry, many of them probably are.
Yeah.
I mean, if, you know, going training, walking the dog, playing FIFA 12, FIFA 11, FIFA 12, whatever it is at the moment. I mean, that's not interesting stuff.
And no, but it's what most people do.
It is what most people do, and it's good enough for the rest of us. So yeah, it's fine.
I was just going to say to him, Terry, I mean, it would be a pretty kind of sanitised world if some kind of power that be stepped in and sort of said, sorry, but you're only allowed to talk about X, Y, and Z when you get on Twitter. And, it's a personal kind of liberty that we all have, the ability to get on Twitter. So why not allow people to just sort of say whatever they want?
You've just hit the nail on the head there, Chris. It's a personal liberty. This is the difference between talking to the broadcast media, standing in front of a sponsored board, and talking to Jeff Shreves. Then you're under some kind of obligation, either under the club or the tournament or the FA, the Premier League, whoever it may be, or indeed your contract with the broadcaster, to behave in a certain way. You don't swear. You don't make baseless allegations. You just basically toe the line. You say what's right. Your own Twitter account is yours. It comes from your own mobile. It comes from your own broadband connection. It comes from wherever you're using it. It belongs to you, and it is entirely yours. It is, as far as I can tell, free of any contractual constraints that you may have. And I would imagine that there is no policy for social media activity in the modern footballer's contract yet.
Yeah.
Whether or not that changes, of course, and it may well have to be then written into the contract that you will not you will not say interesting things on Twitter. In the
event that you will say only dull things.
You will say only dull things on Twitter.
That's right. Any comments you make must be this dull.
Indeed. If your comments are this dull, then we'll fine you a week's wages or something to whatever discipline.
Can you imagine Trevor Brooking in the modern era? Anyway.
the point is that Twitter is a freedom and non-contractually constrained at the moment, and that I think that it would be. That's where I think things get a bit sticky, because when wasn't it Ryan Babel who retweeted an image of Howard Webb wearing a Manchester United shirt?
Yes.
And he got into trouble. He got into bother for it.
It was in the moment as well, wasn't
it? And the thing is, what gets me is if he had said, I don't know. I mean, obviously let it go and they didn't challenge it, they didn't appeal. And there may be reasons why they didn't. Maybe it is sort of bringing the game into disrepute. But the way I look at it is, if he had sort of like said Manchester United, Howard Webb is a Manchester United supporter in front of a Sky camera, then he would have been, rightly, punished for it. But he didn't. He just tweeted it on his own personal Twitter.
Yeah.
Not representing Liverpool Football Club, who he was playing for at the time. He wasn't wearing a Liverpool strip when he was doing it. He hadn't just walked off the pitch. He was a private individual.
Yeah.
Obliquely expressing an opinion, albeit a rather sort of like shallow opinion, but nevertheless he saw something funny and retweeted it.
Yeah,
I mean, for me, it's no big deal, frankly, but it is.
I suppose what you're saying there is that the same rules apply if a journalist came up and asked him a question.
Well, yeah.
About what he thought about it. So
exactly. Yeah. So what did you think of the referee?
Yeah.
And this is, of course, when we're moving into these areas where it's like, where people ask players daft questions.
Yeah.
Frankly. Because it's, what do you think of the referee? Say, well, what do you want me to say?
I think the referee's a twat about Twitter is, in fact, it's not journalists asking these questions. It's just players coming up and then saying,
this is what I believe. They're leading the conversation to a large. In fact, this is something that, again, never happens.
No.
In the broadcast world, because it's always the journalist leading the conversation and the player responding. On Twitter, it's completely the other way around.
Yeah.
The player leads the conversation. They talk about what they want to talk about because everyone is looking and listening to them.
And of course, it's
and their, not the other it, way around.
And of course, it's their following who are sending the replies back to them that are also informing them of what they actually want to know.
Right, yeah, and I'm sure they do pay a great deal of attention their replies. Yeah. I'm sure some of them
they may
really
not reply
do.
That.
No, no, they may not, but I doubt very much that they ignore everything that comes through. It may be a complete maelstrom of chaos and dimwittery, but there will also be some good stuff there for them and some pleasing stuff. And I'm sure guys like Rio Ferdinand, although himself, and every player has made a fool of themselves on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Rio Ferdinand himself has as well. But I'm sure he derives huge benefit from being on it. And I know particularly for the guys I mentioned earlier, the players that do a lot of charity work, I think they'll find Twitter to be an immensely useful fundraising tool.
Well, of course, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Not that they like
a tremendous outlet and a force for good, you know, if that's the way they want to use it, yeah. Going back to Joey Barton there, Graham. I mean, what is your take on him? Just out of interest, I mean, is he frankly an annoyance? Is he good value for what he is? What's your take on Breer Barton?
A sideshow, really. I mean, that's what it is. You've got a player who is a better than average player in the Premier League, not much more than that. A little bit controversial, good. Good for the column inches, I suppose. And really, just adding a bit more dimension to the character. Really, I mean, like he's pretty much pantomime villain, but you know, football's very much a pantomime sport, isn't it? Really.
Do you think that? To what extent do you think either of you? To what extent do you think that he was successfully engineered his move to QPR on the basis of his Twitter activity?
I think. Very much helped engineering.
Well, I was just thinking, I mean, it's given his sort of track record for being a little bit outspoken, you kind of wonder to what extent he would have just said that anyway, but there's no doubting that it had a great influence on him moving to QPR. I mean, that's undeniable,
well,
I think, really.
I mean, I think, you know, up until, the last season or so, these sort of come-and-get-me cries would have been made obliquely through the press. You know,
the print media, yeah.
Sources closer to, blah, blah, blah.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah. You've gone from hiding behind the printed press sort of like veil, briefing off the record, you know, trusted journalists, just coming completely out of the open on Twitter and saying, I want to leave.
Yeah, and now you've got Sky Sports and the press, you know, quoting
from
Twitter. And, you know, telling us stuff we already know if we follow these
And looking so hopelessly out of touch with doing it. When they've got Guy Swanson and whatever his name is, who had his big massive tablet with during the transfer window and saying, well, this is what the guy's saying on Twitter. See, yes, mate, we all know what he's saying on Twitter, or if we want, you know, it's sort of like, how out of step does that look? It's sort of like, you know, how old is that information?
Yes, what has changed? This is what's going on the Twitter.
Or rather, this is what's going on. It's not going on here.
Yeah.
It's going on Twitter.
Well, that,
and of course, broadcasters is terrifying.
Thing is, you know that specific day, the transfer deadline day, was really showing up that how, you know, Sky's great balloon of football transfers, this one day when they get Jim White in to get really excited and he's shying about, is now dead because Twitter has now completely usurped it. And now, of course, they were saying things like, you know, well, they haven't shown us the paperwork yet, so obviously we can't say that it's official or not. But that's because you're well down on the list now. It's like,
they may have taken a picture of it and Twit picked it.
I mean, which players do we follow on Twitter out of interest, chaps? Who are you prepared to admit to? And which ones are the most entertaining or informative, for that matter? I don't have very many on my list, I've got to be honest.
I have quite a few Arsenal players on my list. I've got Van Persie, I've got Jack Wilshere, and I've got Wojciech Chesney.
He's good value.
He's good value, I did have Nasri and I had Cesc, but I unfollowed them immediately after they left.
Good on you.
Does that make me shallow?
No. Is
it a crime?
Yes, exactly.
So yes, it does make you very shallow. I follow Mario Götze, who only tweets in German, and I don't understand German. I follow Mikel Forsell as well, because he's Palace Ledge. I've even had a reply from Mikel Forsell. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Which is very cool indeed. But I mean, admittedly, he's a bit down on the old pecking order for most people, but not for me though. Guy's a champ.
I was actually in the swimming pool with Mikel Forsell.
You've told us about to say, yes, Graham, I know, you've told us a million times. You've told me a million times, but I don't believe the Sound of Football podcast.
No, it was...
I'm just going to go and have a piss while you tell the listeners.
Well, that's pretty much it, really. I saw Mikel Forsell in the swimming pool I was in. I thought, that's Mikel Forsell.
Who else did you see?
Curtis
Fleming, wasn't it?
I think it was,
And he was wearing his Republic of Ireland national team shorts in the jacuzzi.
See, Graham, what you are is a sort of a reincarnation of a taxi cab driver would just be sort of saying, you never guess who I had in the back of the cab.
You never guess who I had in my jacuzzi.
Just to be absolutely clear, that record is he's seen Curtis Fleming and Mikel Forsell in their underwear, and he's been found ferreting around David Gull's bush.
And you've also shaken the hand of Robert Green, wasn't it?
I have. Me and footballers, we're and football related people.
The only footballer I ever met was Vince Hilaire.
what's that I hear? Oh, it's the bottom of a barrel. Okay. Sorry.
Right, back to Twitter anyway.
Sorry, I just want to make clear that I actually hold Vince Hilaire in the highest esteem. He's a Crystal Palace legend. Moving on. You mentioned actually earlier on, Graham, was it Luis Nani?
Yes, I did.
Tell us a bit about him, because
I've just got back from watching the Man U Chelsea game, which was an absolute barrel of laughs.
What was the score?
It was 3-1.
3-1.
To Man United, and it was an absolute cracker.
Oh, I'll catch it.
It was the second half. If you haven't checked Twitter, Ronnie Rosenthal is now trending.
For reasons that will become clear.
For Fernando Torres. Torres actually scored in the game, so everyone will know this by now.
But, so I don't.
But,
so
but you don't. This is great. So yeah. Actually, no. We should download it so you can watch it while we're actually recording the podcast. maybe we should.
Groaning under the stage.
Well, no. But I think I went to see Nanny's verified Twitter stream, and it's great. It's just one of these Twitter streams that's just completely left field. You know, he tweets sporadically, and like, I think his second to last tweet on there was Panda and the newcomer Bell. No hashtags, no links, nothing. It's just, you know, it's just there, and it's just like, you know, just five random words, and it when you look down it does look like a spam account, but it's not. So it's
a double bluff.
But I think there's like a lot of. I've been looking at Andre Santos's Twitter stream as well since he joined Arsenal, and it's lovely. But my wife started following him first, and what she did was she actually took the English versions of his tweets, which were all a bit higgledy piggledy. And he actually, and because he's tweeting bilingually at the moment, he's tweeting in Portuguese and then in English. She took his Portuguese tweets, put them in Google Translate, and they came out word for word what his English ones were immediately afterwards. So, which is all very 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 very, very sweet, and it gives them a nice sort of homely feel about them, but it does show you that there isn't a great higher power behind these guys. It is really just them on their own, sat there. You know, I think he was today tweeting the fact that he was at Madame Tussauds, and we thought, well, maybe he should be at the training ground after yesterday's result. But that's beside the point.
What's the point?
What was the point? Oh, yeah,
what's he got to go there for? It's not done them any good so far.
No, it hasn't.
Madame Tussauds might be the best place for Arsenal right now. Take a few lessons.
Seeing lots of inactive looking people.
Another chap worth mentioning, of course, a bit of a Twitter legend, is Rowan Ricketts.
Rowan Ricketts?
Who has a modest, by footballer standards, following of 22,000. But, currently playing for Shamrock Rovers. And, ex-Tottenham player who never made the grade, but as a relatively, for footballers anyway, an early adopter, and clearly a smart cookie as well. And he's been uber engaging for the time that he's been on there, and has built up a good network of people. And off the back of it, not only has he boosted his media profile, because he gets to turn up on things like ESPN's Talk of the Terrace and stuff like that, which I'm sure he wouldn't go anywhere near, given that he's essentially a journeyman lower division European player.
Yeah.
I saw him playing, I can't remember the name of the team, but I saw him playing last season in Berlin at Türkiyespor, not for Türkiyespor, in the fourth division of the German league, which is regionalised. He's now playing at Shamrock. He's launched his own magazine off the back of it. And, with the risk of sound accusing him of cynicism, I'm sure that he's recognised that he's been able to build a market from Twitter.
Yeah.
And so there you have an example of a lesser-known player these days, who is actually quite well-known, even despite his modest career.
No, the thing is, though, footballers do have a lot of time on their hands.
This is true.
That's true.
So, if they have got a bit of smarts, then they would be fools not to engage.
And also, they're not working when the rest of us are working.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, we're desperate for any kind of distraction.
Yeah.
To, take away from the meaningless of our existence. So, they're tremendously good value on Twitter. As a consequence, very entertaining.
I suppose in a different way, it's like when Owen Hargreaves. I mean, like everyone had a good laugh, but when Owen Hargreaves put up that YouTube video of him, saying, "Look, my legs work."
Yes. Give me a job.
But then again, this is a guy who could probably command several tens of thousands a week if he can prove his worth. to a yeah. team. So yeah, absolutely. Why not? And, yeah. And yet again, he's using like modern facilities and, yeah.
and
tools to get out there.
Talking directly to the market, talking directly to the audience. He may not necessarily be talking directly to the people who are giving him a job, but if he recognises that. If people understand that he is fit,
yeah.
then they will look to their club manager and say, well, Lyon Hargreaves is fit, why don't you
yeah.
sign him?
And if there is a hubbub of fans going, well, you know, why aren't we signing him?
Exactly.
If he's just like, calling his heels some.
No, nothing says hubbub more than Twitter.
No, exactly. yeah.
Champions League night on Twitter is a glorious maelstrom of
it's exactly the word I was going
to
say.
Another thing.
Yeah. And no matter how much we like to think that we don't listen to that kind of crap.
Oh, I'm all over
We
that.
Do.
yes.
Twitter on Champions League night is glorious. It's glorious hubbubbery.
No, and we're as guilty of it as anyone who follows our
stream. Also because we like to poke people as well and irritate them. Make them even more needy and unpleasant and furious.
Yeah, because we're very shallow people.
Indeed.
Absolutely right. If you hadn't worked that one out by now, then more for you, I say. I suppose we should, before we run out of time, we are obliged to mention the old anecdote of Stan Collymore, who I inadvertently rubbed up the wrong way. I may have even said this on a previous podcast. I don't know. It was probably way back to the beginning of Twitter history. And I think I was tweeting. I don't know if it was something like the League Cup final or something.
You were tweeting a league game. Back then, we were some people on the pitch, and we had our own Twitter account. And
that's right.
We dabbled in minute by
live
minute
tweeting.
On Twitter.
Yes.
We don't do them anymore. We did them for a few weeks.
They're bloody annoying.
Bloody annoying. They really congested everyone's timeline, and they were shit.
Not too many.
So we stopped doing them, obviously. but during that time, Chris, you made some kind of... Stan was maybe 1 or 2 days into using Twitter. It was no exaggeration.
He was still
fresh to it. He
was
tweeting
in block caps.
Yeah, he was tweeting in block caps.
He was on. I can't remember which radio. I don't know if it was Five Live or something like that. But he was doing a radio sort of co-commentary.
Yeah.
But while doing that, he was also tweeting.
That's right.
Which I must admit, I sort of thought, well, what are you doing? Are you tweeting or are you commentating? Because clearly you can't devote your entire attention to one, to both. It has to be one or the other, surely. And anyway, at some point, yes, he tweeted a message, and it was, successive messages, actually, and they were all in block capitals. And I just made some kind of comment along the lines of, Mr. Collymore clearly hasn't worked out how to turn off the caps lock button yet or something. To which he responded in the most, sensational sort of terms.
He told you to jog on.
Yes.
He then also pointed out. He said, "Look, at least I'm at the ground. I'm not sat. At home.
Yeah.
Up
in my bedroom." He said, "At least I'm not in my bedroom."
To which, touche. Yeah. Because I don't know whether you were in your bedroom, Chris, but you certainly weren't at the game.
I was not. I was in my living room, actually.
Completely and utterly. Let's gloss over the fact that how many years did TalkSport get by with unofficial commentary
sitting
in a studio watching the game on television?
Yeah, it was blissfully ironic.
Yes, I just sort of thought. Let's forget the caps lock joke, but I still come back to the original point. Either you're professional enough to be co-commentating, or or tweet, but don't do both at the same time if you want any kind of credibility. And I stand by that original point, Mr. Collymore, if you're listening.
Yes, indeed. And can I just at this point also interject that if any of my employers are listening, these are my views and not the views of my employer. Watch me. I'm cutting it.
Oh, dear.
Let's go home. Well, I already
go.
Let's finish. Chris.
I think we've covered the full range of quite how much joy you can get from Twitter if you use it in the right way. So anyway, do get in touch with us and tell us who you follow on Twitter and perhaps some of your anecdotes. We'd be more than pleased to hear them. And just on the same note, we had some feedback following last week's programme, actually, where we were talking about the Premier League. And Graham, of course, you were talking about this thing of incidents in American sport where teams have kind of gone for the jugular and pummeled their opponents into the ground when perhaps the tradition is to not do so. And where we heard from NUFC Monkey on Twitter during the week, who said it is indeed common practice in American sports to get free food based on scoring highly, because you were sort of saying about this basketball team, Big Macs free for everyone, yeah. So there we are, that just confirmed it. So thank you very much, NUFC Monkey, for confirming that. Anyway, like I say, get in touch with us after our Twitter chat that we just had. All the details coming up at the end of the podcast.
He's the guy who told me, I'm sure, on Twitter, that he's the guy who left this pool party. Well,
the following segment has been removed for compliance reasons.
And then he complained that his Twitter stream was boring. I'm sure that was him.
NUFC Monkey, you know where we are, get in touch.
Serious tactical error on that, but I believe was my response. If it wasn't from UFC Monkey, then please reply and we will publish an immediate rejection.
Or if you are the person who tends to go to
compliance reasons,
please tell us who you are and can we be your friend?
Yeah. Yes, and if you've got any pictures, then send them.
Say no more.
Say no more. Ah dear, anyway, I think we should go now, but thanks very much indeed for joining us. As I say, all the contact details are coming up at the end, but do join us again next time around for another Sound of Football podcast. Until then, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
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 You can contact the show at www.footballfairground.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/soundoffootball. Or you can listen to our moribund opinions on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball.